Fusion scientist.
This guy with horns said there's a cure for your financial state. Don't do the thing you love, cause good things come to those who hate. I'm a powerful man, and though I think you're a slob, if you will flatter me, I'll get you a real job. Give up your dreams, he said, yes, that's the way to have it all. Look at your cousin Neil, he's young, he's rich, he's going bald. He may be dead in a decade or two, but he drives a Porsche, and yes, you can drive one too. Why don't you get a real job, for real? Why don't you get a real job? Why don't you get a real job, for real? Why don't you get a real job?
As brilliant as I have been in presentations around the country, it's always the lab coat they remember, not the content.
Now we recognize you.
But y'all will never forget who the conversion scientist is, right? People say it also makes me look smart, which is a trick, especially for a piece of clothing. Well, let me tell you what I do. As a conversion scientist, conversion is the science of converting visitors to a website into leads and sales. Cardboard Resume hired me to do the same thing, help them with their conversion rates on their website for a new application. The application is a job search CRM, a customer relationship management engine. I said, you really need a book because things are changing. So I follow generational and demographic shifts, and things are actually fundamentally changing in the job market. And job searchers, to be successful, are actually going to have to behave more like freelancers. So we have a skill set that we continue to talk about. Our past is really evidence of how good we are. It's our portfolios, it's our references, our referrals, or the reputations of the companies we've worked for. Job seekers, on the other hand, define themselves by that. So they talk about what they've done instead of what their skill set is. So one of the key distinctions that I try to enforce, I want to pass on to job seekers is they're not job seekers. When they're job seekers, they're somebody who needs a job. I think they should look at themselves as skills holders, much like a freelancer would. So just because you've ended a project with another company doesn't mean that you've changed fundamentally in what you're able to do. Job seekers tend to look backwards. Freelancers are like, I have these skills. Do you need them? And that is exactly how you're going to find a job. So I propose that we actually write a book, which I titled The Market for Me, for Cardboard Resume. It explains the new job search, network-oriented job search, and I'm going to take you guys through that and talk to you about what I'm calling the magic email, which is the first email that you send once you've said, okay, I need a job or I need my next project. What is that email that goes out that energizes your job network and allows you to access people's extended network? And I'll talk more about that. Let me go through a few other things. This will all sound, I think, for those of you that are freelancers here, I think this will all sound familiar. Job seekers, they exchange time for money. Freelancers exchange value for money. And I should say skills holder as well. So someone in a job search who's looking for a W-2 gig should look at it that way. Job seekers are expected to take a fair salary. Skills holders negotiate the best salary or the best pay for their skills, value, and experience. Job seekers are expected to be grateful for their jobs and loyal to their employers. Skills holders and freelancers are always in the market searching for new opportunities. And that's going to be another fundamental shift demographically and generationally. You can expect to have 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in my case, jobs over the course of your career. We've pretty much lost lifetime employment, pensions, 50-year stints at the same company. Although they're still going to be there, it's not what we're shooting for because they're less common. And arguably, it's a better way to move up, increase financial value of your career by switching companies because you can get different experiences. Each one of those is another negotiation for an increase in salary, et cetera, et cetera. Job seekers don't anticipate an end to their current employment, and they're often surprised and unprepared when it happens. Freelancers, we completely expect to do a number of deals, however many it takes, throughout our careers, throughout the life of our practices. Job seekers are afraid to talk about the predicament, and this is a killer. So I'm out of work, I don't want to let anybody know. Well, that's going to shoot down any chance of networking that you're going to do. Skills holders and freelancers, I'm going to tell you what I'm good at, and I'm going to ask you if you know anybody at this company or that company, or if you know of anybody, period, that's looking for that skill set. So I actually didn't even realize it until Amy and I started talking about me presenting here, but the book is really steeped in the fact that I've always done freelancing. My greatest qualification for writing a job search book is that I have a chronic inability to hold a job. So I've counted 11 active job searches in my short life. So, but I've always done freelancing in between, primarily marketing, some software development, and this last freelance gig has really turned into my bread and butter, the conversion science. I've been doing conversion sciences for 3 years now. In the downturn, it's even hotter because the e-commerce people are going, oh my gosh, nobody's buying. What am I doing? So I love what I'm doing, and I feel really fortunate. So I want job seekers to have some of that. Not going to bother with that. So there's a concept you got to get about the power of a network. You all, if you've been freelancing and if you are a job seeker and you've been to any meetings, they always say it's about networking. It's about networking. The challenge in the job search, and the challenge that has always been true for freelancers, is you've got to have a personal relationship with the hiring manager. 80% of all jobs offers are made through a personal connection with the hiring manager. And I would argue 100% of all freelance opportunities come only after you've met and talked with the person who's looking for the skills. Would anybody disagree? Has anybody put up an ad and just had people start signing up, calling and say, I want to hire you? The other thing is that 75% of all jobs go unposted. And now freelancers, we know that they don't often post what they need. It's going to be somebody asking somebody. We just need to make sure that we're connected. So the challenge is, in a big world out there, me as a job seeker, me as a freelancer, someone out there needs my skills. I'll either hear about it through a job board, hear about it through a friend, or just target a company that I know is, if I'm a freelancer, I'm actually targeting the companies that are laying off what I do, because they're very quickly going to say, wow, we really needed that person, or we need to still keep doing that skill even though we don't have that person. People who are hiring for W-2 work, we know sometimes we can, that's an indicator that we might be able to do some freelance work. In this market, I think the W-2s are, there's plenty of people they can interview if they want to hire on a W-2 basis. And quite frankly, from my standpoint, I see myself as a freelancer that has just occasionally taken long W-2-based projects, which might be one of the reasons I'm so short. I keep jobs for about a year. So let me geek out on you a little bit. Network theory. And this is going to explain to you why Facebook has garnered 250 million users in 4 years. I mean, we've never done anything like that as a society, as a world. There are the way of measuring the value of a network, there are three thought leaders in that. Sarnoff's Law is the first, and Sarnoff's Law says the value of a network is directly proportional to the number of nodes in the network. So this is the way TV, radio, print works. I have some content, and the bigger an audience I have for it, the more powerful my network is. So that's pretty much how marketers are measuring the power of the broadcast networks, is how many people are going to hear my message. Okay? The next one is Metcalfe's Law. Well, y'all can write these down and really sound geeky, by the way, if you're talking to anybody else. Metcalfe's Law says the network's value increases more substantially based on the number of connections between the nodes. So the best example of this, of course, is the internet. Fax machines. So why do you think we always put a fax number on our business cards? I mean, I pay for a fax service. I send 4 or 5 faxes a year. Everything else is done through email, PDF, that sort of thing. I might be counter to that, but I still put my fax number on my card and stuff like that, because that was the way you created another connection. If I handed you my card, you knew how to contact me on the fax network. I got your card. I knew how to contact you. And every time I did that, I had another set of connections. another set of back connections. So I was growing the number of connections. And, of course, fax was has been a great tool for years and years and years and years. So that's kind of like the email or the URL for the fax network, was that number on business card. And that pretty much gave someone permission to send me a fax. Reed's Law is what we want to target. Reed's Law says that the value of a network grows super exponentially based on the number of groups on the network. So what it says is that a network is not a network of nodes and connections, it's a network of networks. So if I connect to Margaret, I know Margaret probably knows 500 or 1,000 people. And all I need is a reason for her to give me access to her network, and I can turn her into a 500 or 1,000 value node. And I don't know those people, but I have a connection to them. So what was the excuse that Facebook used? Well, if you have a lot of friends, you're better. So that was the excuse. Hi, I'm connecting with you, and it was implied that I would have access to your extended network through Facebook, through the continued connections. And that's why when you go to Facebook, you see, oh, you also know these people. It finds the common people in our networks. Oh, would you like to introduce this person to some other people? You're connecting them to people in your network that may not know them or may know them. And what we've done is we've trained a generation on managing what we call weak links. Weak links are very important because your Metcalfe's network is going to have a lot of overlap. In other words, the people that you know that are close to you are going to know a lot of the same people. If you really want to get out and start discovering companies that you want to work for, companies that you want to do projects for, you've got to start engaging these weak links, people that don't know you, aren't in your industry, don't have the same hobbies as you, but through a link of someone close to you, you can get access to them. And there's this just beautiful slide here, I wish you could see. Can you kind of see it? You guys are easy. So it starts with you here and just your close networks. Whoops. And then you've got your extended network, so this might be Margaret and the connections that she knows, but I may not know. And this is the hiring manager. This is the guy with the project. This is the guy with the job posting, whether it's posted or not. And what you want to do is grow your Reed's Law network out so that he becomes one of those nodes. It may not be somebody that you've yet connected with. But the key is that as you grow out these nodes of people directly connected to you, they can become your champion. These are the guys that can say, you really ought to call so-and-so because she's written for this magazine, she's done this. We got to call this person because they have great experience in these areas that you're looking for. This is the person that will make the connection for you. And if you get one or two or three of these, if you're in the job search and you're applying for a job through Monster or Career Builder or through a company's website, get in line. Get in line. I had a friend of mine who's an HR guy who had 3 interviews in a week. He had gotten the interviews through direct personal connections. He's an HR guy, so he knows how it works. He said, I had submitted my resume to every one of those guys, and not one of them had ever seen it. 3. So I think the answer is really that maybe 10% of the people that are using channels, the hiring manager is ever really going to find your resume. And when they get that pile, how do they get through it? How do they prioritize it? We all need someone to tell us who we should be talking to, or at least give us a recommendation, someone to differentiate. So you're more likely to get an interview for that project or an interview for the job if you got someone, even if they say, you know what, I don't know this guy, he's like in my network, but he wanted me to forward on this resume, I mean, here. That is going to increase the odds of you getting an interview significantly. So it can be very lukewarm. Now, champions in your network, if you have a good relationship with who they know, or they've heard of you because you're such a good Reed's Law networker, they can ward you off of bad jobs. They can give you some insight into the hiring manager, what they're really looking for, because honestly, hiring managers aren't any better at writing job descriptions than they are at marketing material. So job descriptions don't really tell you what they're looking for. So if you can get that from a champion, great. And of course, if you can get a champion to walk the resume in and say, this guy's good, you really ought to talk to this guy or this gal, what more could you ask? So the magic email starts Reed's Law in action for you. It gives you, what I'm doing is I'm applying the best practices in email marketing to a personal email network. And I'll talk about why email's good. So the strategy goes like this. You've got a hidden network, actually. So is anybody on LinkedIn? Who's on LinkedIn? Everybody's on LinkedIn. That's good. Great. Many of you may have started off by going to add connections and typing in your Gmail username and password or your AOL or Hotmail. No?
I wouldn't do that because I don't trust any of those to not spam the people in my email address book. I've never, ever used that feature on any social media site at all. I know other people do it, but for me personally, no way. Nah.
Let's talk about what spam. We'll talk about what spam really is.
Email is suckish enough. I don't need to clutter up people's lives with more crap.
Okay. Good.
And tell us how you really feel.
So we would add her in a different way.
Corn Maze PR release this morning in my email box in Georgia going, what the F? What? Mr. Shucks.
Delete.
I did delete, but Jesus Christ, 25 emails overnight and two of them or something. I give a fat rat's ass about email sucks.
Actually, she's right. I'm not going to go on. Thanks for coming. Great. I mean, she's got some awesome tools. But the problem is, well, I mean, what are your social media tools of choice? LinkedIn? Twitter.
Yes.
All right. So Twitter is one of those social mediums that you can communicate with everybody.
I have a DM all day and send an email.
But if you direct messaging and also the broadcast messaging. The issue with Twitter is that its efficacy is you have to be watching to get your message. So if I'm not watching you, if I'm not watching Twitter, when your message comes by, it just gets moved right on up.
And then
the DM,
I get an email that's properly targeted, I'm okay with, and that's what you're talking about.
And that's what we're talking about. And there's an issue of permission. We'll go into that. But that's good, because you need to, you know, I do this presentation to job seekers, and they're all going, I'm not going to let anybody know I'm looking for a job. And that is the attitude that's going to kill you. It's just going to kill you. So there's a polite, respectful way to use email. We'll talk about that. But the key is that when you do this, you may have I add 400 or 500 names in my Gmail contacts list. When I did this, it found 2,600 people that I'd either sent an email to or replied to. And the implication is that if I've emailed them, right, through my Gmail account, that there is a connection there. And so it pulls those out, hands them to LinkedIn, and then LinkedIn lets me pick the ones that I want to send an invitation to. My point is this. You have the start of your Reed's Law network already. It's just hidden, especially if you're using AOL, MSN, Yahoo Mail, Gmail. They all have some sort of facility for this. Outlook, you actually have to go through your sent items and add people to a distribution list that you want added. But you can go from I think freelancers probably have a bigger Rolodex than most. You manage a job seeker who's been working for 10 years, not networking, might have, you know, just his family in his Rolodex. But if you've got 100 or 200 people in your Rolodex, it can very quickly go to 1,000. These are the folks that have those weak ties. So they may have been part of a list, a freelance Austin list, something like that. You may have just had a passing conversation. They might only be a lead that didn't pan out. They might have been 6 months ago, might have been 9 months ago. But these are all folks that have had some contact with you. So they qualify as this weak link. Weak link sounds like there's something wrong with them. But the weak tie is the word I'm looking for this weak tie. So what you want to do...
Target the weak link.
Oh, that's the missing link. Would you stand up and do that, though? That was...
She's still in head of mind mode.
So anyway, we essentially harvest these weak links. We can build them very slowly through LinkedIn, Twitter. I've been on Twitter. I'm approaching 1,000 contacts, but I've been doing it for 2.5 years. So it's been a long, slow... But that's kind of Twitter network I want. Same on LinkedIn. I'm 750-ish there, but I've been doing it for 4 years. So that's the kind of network that I want to build. It took a long time. And I still can't broadcast everybody on LinkedIn or Facebook that, oh, I've got a presentation coming. Everybody come. I can do that with email. It's very direct. But email is a one-to-one. So the thing on the social networks, people expect to get a notification from you that everybody else saw. Email is one-to-one. So the magic email needs to take that into account. You will send to this list, to this list, the magic email. This will invite them to become a part of your practice or your job search. Okay? I'll give you specific details on that. So I've talked about why email. First of all, it's the biggest social network on the planet, billions of users. Is there anybody who is not on email? Never had anybody raise their hand. There are 90-year-olds, 100-year-olds who are on email. Everybody's on it. They know how to use it. You can create it very quickly. Provides an opt-out capability. So on Twitter, we have blocking. Facebook, we have some blocking capability. We can set our permissions. I can send you a message and say, you know, I really don't want to get your emails. And if you're polite and respectful, as you should be, take them off the list and they won't get any more. And it gives you this broadcast capability. So you can actually get a message into everybody's inbox, providing for deliverability and all the things that us marketers worry about. So email is overlooked. So you get a job posting. Here's how it works if you're looking for work. You get a job posting and you're like, all right, I can apply through the website, and you should. But what's better is you go on LinkedIn, you do a little search for the company, you find out, A, if you know anybody, if there's anybody in your first level contacts, B, if there's somebody one step away, and get in touch with the person that can make that introduction for you. Those are your potential champions. So for a big company, you find a whole lot of potential champions. You look for people with the same title that you have. The details are in the book. But you're looking for people who might be close to the hiring manager, to see if you can get some information, get them to at least forward your resume on, even if they don't know you, or they do know you, get them to walk it in and give you a recommendation. If you do not have a job posting, but you know there's a company that might be hiring or just a company that you want to work for, you send out a notification that, you know, I'm interested in this company. Does anybody know anybody there? Okay? Again, you can't do that on LinkedIn. You can't do that on Facebook, but you can do it through email. You can do it on Twitter if a fair percentage of your market's on Twitter and paying attention, right? You find someone who's close to the opportunity, and champions will raise their hand. It's like, yeah, I know somebody, or, oh, you got to talk to this guy, or I'm sitting in the cubicle right next to the hiring manager. It runs the whole gambit. Contact the champion. You say, I'm interested in this position. A, can you tell me a little bit more about hiring manager, can you put me in touch? Would you be willing to forward my resume? Reed's Law is activated when somebody has an excuse to give you access to their network. That you're looking for a job or building your practice is that excuse. Just like on Facebook, the more friends you have, the better. So I'll let everybody have access so that I can grow my network as well. Job search, very, very, we've all been there. It has a strong emotional tie to it, and people will give job seekers amazing access. I mean, I send stuff day and night to folks, and I won't hold back. I'm a little bit different. You're going to be amazed. The folks that have sent the magic email out for their job search thing, they get about 20% response of people saying, oh, wow, I didn't know you were looking. Man, I'm glad to help. I mean, can you imagine how that feels? Can you imagine how it makes you feel if you're in a dry spot in your practice? I have not heard of anybody opting out, believe it or not. which totally blows my mind. And this is interesting, the people who are closest to you generally don't respond. It's people you've forgotten you knew. They met you at a networking event. You had an impact on them and you didn't know it, but they remembered who you were, or they liked what you said, or they liked who you were with, or whatever the issue is. They come back and say, man, I'm happy to help. You know, I really liked our interaction. It's amazing. So Reed's Law is like a serendipity engine, too. It connects you to people and creates coincidences you wouldn't believe. So I'm a big believer in these networks. You've got to get past that fear, though. I'm going to be a spammer. So we'll talk about the magic email. You send the final step, of course, is you have your champion forward your resume through for you, or you rewrite your cover letter based on what they know, or maybe they can introduce you to somebody who can forward it on. It's really what you got to do. And for some of the more competitive jobs, you're going to want two or three champions. If the hiring manager hears about you from two or three people, this happens in my practice, people remember the lab coat. They may not remember what I'm about. Say, oh, Brian, yeah, I know of him. If they hear from me for two or three people, that happened with a project Amy and I worked on. They had heard about me from three different people. They're like, I got to get this guy in here. That's very, very powerful. So, the magic email. The magic email has these components to make it polite, respectful, effective. And this is just good email marketing. Because as marketers, we want our house list to be people that are interested in our company and our products. We don't want them jumping off because they think we're spamming them. If they don't want to be a part of it, we want to let them off so they don't report us to the spam companies and shut down our mail servers. So we learn to be very respectful in email, except for the spammers who have no concerns because they don't care. Did you put a hand up?
Oh, no.
So number one, you have to ask for help, specific help. You have to tell them what they're going to receive. All right? In case of the job seeker, I'm in a job search. I was hoping that you would, I was going to say, the text goes, I would like to, let me just go through these. Ask for help, offer to help them in any way you can, likewise. So this is the nature of the Reed's Law Network. It's a quid pro quo. You give me access to your network, I give you access to my network. Okay? Tell them what to expect. So I'm going to send you an occasional email with the job I'm interested in. Or I'm going to send you an occasional, some information on a project I've just completed, just so you know how I'm doing, sort of thing. I'm going to send you a copy of my blog post, which is 10 tips on how to do great copywriting. Whatever you're going to offer them, tell them specifically what they can expect, how frequently they can expect to get email from you, and what the content will be. Okay? For a job seeker, it is, I'll get into it. Tell them how they can help. Don't sell. This is not a sales opportunity. Tell them how they can opt out. Send me back an email. Let me know. I will take you off. You do that with every email you send. Always give them an option to opt out. This is the way you keep from being a spammer. What we're doing is the opposite of spam marketing is permission marketing. So we're establishing permission, letting them know that they'll always be able to opt out. We offer something potential of value to them, and we're offering access to our network, which could be of value to them. Okay? And then the sixth thing that we've learned is offering something of immediate value. So one of the best things, this can be an article, it can be a blog post. One of the best things I think you can do is if you blog yourself and you're establishing yourself as a thought leader or an expert in an area, send them a blog post that you think is one of your best or has broadest offering, because you're really sending to a very broad audience. Then you're asking the audience to tell you who wants to be in and who wants to be out through this opt-out process. So in the magic email, if you have something of value that you think would have broad appeal, great, share it with them.
Don't send them a joke.
Well, you could send a joke if you can keep it funny to everybody. Cartoons are sometimes, I've heard somebody talk about cartoons. just because you're building a network doesn't mean you're not who you are. So if people opt out because of who you are, that's okay, because that's what they're going to, that's what they expect to get. So we're not trying to have the biggest network. We want to find that network that will be the channels for our practices and for our job search.
Yeah, just so like as you're talking about it, I've been doing this for my book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sending emails to people in my, you know, everyone in my email list, basically, sharing about, you know, what's going on with the book, and
mm-hmm.
you know, just giving them basic information and everything. And it's an entertaining email, right? Anytime I talk to someone, they talk about how much they love getting those emails because it's entertaining to read.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you're talking about when you say providing value?
If you can do that, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So how many of you have ever heard of the Soup Peddler?
The Soup Peddler?
Soup Peddler, David Hansel. So Soup Peddler was not successful because he had great soup. Soup Peddler was successful because he was a great email writer. Every time he put out a soup, he put out the menu, he created this entire story around the tomatoes he used and that they are considered an aphrodisiac, or the rosemary that came from his grandmother's garden. And he was excellent at that. And honestly, I'm not that good. But if you have that ability and you can provide value, and entertainment is great value, as you're doing this, you're gonna see very, very low opt-out rates. So absolutely, that's, if you can do that, more power to you. So ask for help, offer to help them, tell them exactly what to expect. Don't tell them how to, tell them how to help but not sell. Tell them how to opt out and offer something of value, be valuable, be interesting. That's actually a better way of putting that. I might steal that. The tragic email is this one. You're trying to sell them. So how many of you are in a job search, just to get an idea? So quite a few of us, yeah. I assume most of you have already sent the email. Here's my resume. Tell me if you've heard anything. You're expecting me to read your email? I don't even like my own email. Why would I read your, my own resume. Why would I read yours? I can't do that. I deal with job seekers all day. You know, as part of marketing for this book, but I won't read a resume. And when I do, I don't really get out of it what I'm supposed to. Resume, marketers have been figuring out how to communicate for years and years and years. We've never developed anything like a resume because it just doesn't communicate well. HR people like it, so you have to do it. They know how to do it.
What I found is typically no more HR guys left anyway.
That's true at the big companies, absolutely.
But honestly, it's not like the days. I started working in the early 80s at Zenith, which is now Bucky Goldstar. But, I mean, the HR department was huge. I mean, there was probably 25 people in the HR department, including an admin or secretary in those days, for every HR person.
Yeah. Yes, and so not only does your resume have to deliver the right keywords to the computer, but the hiring manager has to know what those keywords are to find you.
Yeah.
How do we know that the hiring manager is going to know exactly which keywords to use to find you?
Right, and actually, most of the HR guys are I don't think they're going to be in the HR guys, they don't know what they're hiring for.
I know.
Technical sales guy, they have no clue.
Just look at any job description. So that's a tragic email. That is the one that's like, the desperate, I'm out of work and my mortgage is coming due. I really got to find something. Can you help me? It's not going to work. Even including your portfolio, I'd argue, on this magic email, this first email, is not appropriate. You just want to set, you want to ask permission is all you're doing here. You're not going to try to tell them what you do beyond what you call yourself, which is really important, by the way, what you call yourself. Conversion scientists, everybody's like, what the heck is that? But I'm the only one on the planet, so that gives me a differentiator, and I can explain it in a sentence. Tell them, here's another tragic email. Ask them to tell you if you hear anything. Don't offer them an opt-out. Just keep sending them stuff. And then make it all about you, not offering to help them, right? It's all about you and what you need, and read my resume and get somebody to tell me if you're doing, right? So that's spam. That's spam. All right, so I'm going to go through. The emails are on my blog. The URL, if you want to write it down, is www.marketforme.book. Four is spelled out FOR.com. And in the resources section, all these emails can be cut and pasted. And I strongly recommend that you edit them for your voice and your style. MarketForMeBook.com. MarketForMeBook.com. Did I put a dot in there?
You know,
I have this. It might be early onset Tourette's syndrome. But it starts out, dear first name, and if you can send through a medium in which you can customize it for the person, since email is a one-to-one endeavor, great. If you are really serious about this and you want to go through your list and send each one manually, that's the most personal. If you're sending from Outlook, make sure that you do not expose other people's email addresses to the people you're sending, so put it in your BCC. It comes from, you know, it's to undisclosed recipients, so it's less personal feeling. Cardboard resume actually is not targeted at freelancers, but you guys could go in, load your contacts in there. It will allow you to substitute names and personalize like that. They don't charge on a per email basis, which I haven't seen anywhere. And they will handle the opt-outs for you, so people can click and opt out. And you won't be able to send them anymore, so you won't accidentally send somebody who's opted out.
If you have Service Space, PHPList will do that for you, and that's a free open source software.
Will it really?
It does double opt out, and it lets you put your list in, and it will send everybody in your list individual emails.
You just need to install it on your server and manage it yourself.
It's a newsletter engine.
Yeah.
Well,
I've used it. I mean, WebMopac and. PHPList. And I imagine in this room there are a couple people who know how to implement this, right? Do you implement this sort of thing?
Yes.
Oh, Troxler software. I've never heard of that. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you which technology to use. I use Mailmentum, which is a local ESP. They charge me a penny a name. Mailmentum. Constant Contact, Eye Contact, Vertical Response, Bronto. I'm forgetting the name. Send Monkey.
Send Market.
Something Monkey.
Yeah. MailChimp.
MailChimp. That's it. MailChimp. All right. Now you know why I'm not a project manager. So, dear first name, I'm exploring new career opportunities and would like your help. Very simple. That's it. I'm in the middle of a job search, and I would like your help. The subject line I recommend for this one is, I would like to know if you can help. The freelancer version, so this is, gets a little bit more interesting for freelancers, but the freelancer version, I think, is I'm building my blank business. It tells them what category, what bucket to put you in. I think that's all the detail you really need to offer them, and would like your help. Okay? So you know that they know that you're asking for something. How would I say that?
Yeah.
I am building my online marketing practice. I probably wouldn't put conversion scientist in there because there would be links to it, but I wouldn't, because I don't want to have to explain it in that medium. So my online marketing practice, I would like your help. Telling them exactly what to expect. I'd like to send you an occasional email describing a job or company I'm interested in. If you know anyone there or can tell me more about the company, it would be very helpful. Right? Of course, I'm happy to do the same for you if you're interested. The freelancer version, and I'm open to suggestions because, you know, I really targeted this at the job seeker, but I'd like to send you an occasional email describing a company I'd like as a client. If you know anyone there or can tell me more about the company, it would be very helpful. And then the reciprocal is, by the way, let me know if there's anything you're looking for. I have a a large network of freelancers that could help you with what you're looking for. This is important for deliverability. This is optional. I consider this optional, but as an email marketer, it's important. If you're willing to help, please add my email address to your approved senders list. You can also say send your email to your contact list, which generally adds somebody to the approved list. You will have the opportunity to opt out of my emails at any time. All right, that's the most important piece. At any time, you'll have the opportunity to opt out. If you do not wish to receive any more emails from me, reply to this message with "no thanks" in the subject line, and I'll take you off my list. And you guys have got to be diligent about that. This is the trust building part. Thank you for your consideration. Y'all can be much more imaginative than that, I'm sure. Your signature. Now, something we know about emails, that PSs get read. So if you have a bit of value you want to pass to them, you can put it in the PS, or you can just put it before your closing salutation. So, PS, you might be interested in a book that has inspired me to take an active role in managing my career. You can get your own copy at www.marketformebook.com. Y'all are welcome to take that and just use it. Has broad appeal. So that is the magic email. It's about 130 words by my count. Questions about the magic email? I think we can get more creative with freelance-oriented magic emails. You know what?
Where do you put that? How do you put that in? Like, let's say I have a blog posting that I think is pretty cool and will help.
That's where I'd put it.
Where? In the
PS? Oh, I'd put it right before the closing. By the way, I just posted a blog about copywriting you might be interested in. Just posted a blog about 5 mistakes business owners make when developing their website. Or I just saw this great article, thought you'd find it interesting. That's fine. Put it in there.
Is this always just email? Do you ever ask to meet with the person in person?
So what you want to do is you want to get permission through email. And then if in your list you come across 5 or 10 people are like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't realize this person, I'd sent this person an email at some point. I really got to contact them, pull those guys and get on the phone with them. And, you know, they're higher value people in your list. This is really targeted at the weak links, the people you don't know very well, may not even remember you, but you have their email and did some communication with them. And again, for every person that won't remember you, there's somebody that had a good experience of you and you just didn't know it. I honestly believe that.
Is any email service better than another? Like, you know, Gmail versus Hotmail. I think it's AOL. I can't remember for a fact. I don't want to pick on it. But I think AOL adds a bunch of stuff to the box. I'm not sure.
I know Yahoo adds stuff. Gmail doesn't. I'm a Google fanboy. Another thing that Google does is they just released when you go to their contacts tab, they actually have a button there that says, hey, we found a bunch of people you sent an email to that aren't in your contact list. Click here to add the ones you want. And you click there and it gives you a list. I found like 500 people that I didn't realize should be in my contact list. And I don't even use Google. I don't use Gmail as my contact manager. I use Outlook. So I'm using Gmail as my back end where everything's archived. Bringing it into Outlook, which is my preferred client. So that may be the way to do it. I know you can do this, I think, with Yahoo. Not sure about MSN, not sure about AOL, where you're essentially just using them as an email server. And I don't know if that strips out the ads or not. I don't know how much longer they can do that. But I will say this, that what you want to do is you're sending personal email one-to-one. So if Yahoo's what you use, it's going to have the ads, and that's just, you know, another bit of who you are. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Other thoughts? Has anybody composed the magic email in their mind or their unique approach? If you want to completely change this email and start off with something interesting and compelling and entertaining, Especially if you're in writing, you know, that's a really powerful way to do this. Go ahead. Just make sure that you have those five elements, that they can opt out, that you're telling them exactly what to expect, et cetera.
Okay, going back several slides. Tell us again why you can't do this kind of thing through your LinkedIn contact list or through your...
Just because I can't. So when that hot job comes, it's like, oh, wow. Now, so if you had sent this email out saying, you know, there's this great job, does you guys know anybody? And I was on that list. I know the IT guy there, and I know someone else who is doing some content development there, so I could connect you with someone. Okay, I'm sorry, yes.
So why can we not send... If we've carefully developed our LinkedIn contact list or our Facebook contact list,
yes.
Why can we not send this kind of, you know, touchy-feely, this kind of magic email? Why can it not go out through that?
If you pay them $24.95 a month, you can do 10 of those a month.
LinkedIn.
Through LinkedIn. Yeah. All right. So if you've got, how many people are in your LinkedIn network?
On LinkedIn, 175.
All right. So, you know, in about 11 months, you could contact everybody about that opportunity, but I suspect it's going to be gone by then. Email, I can send 175 notices. I'm interested in this. Who do you know? The people that are like, I don't know anybody at Stratfor. Delete. And as long as you're being polite, they can opt out if you want. If you want to add a little bit of value, a little blog post for with each of those, great.
But you could... On LinkedIn, just use it as a post when you every day, when you update, you just say, "Oh, I'm looking for blah blah blah."
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah. Right. But to give you an idea, when I
do it every day for God knows how many days, or what, but it'll stay up. So
right.
If you let it stay. I mean,
so, for instance,
I went
out on Twitter with this opportunity, and it generated, you know, I've got 750. It generated something like 20 hits to the little blog post I did about me speaking here. All right. Now, I didn't send an email, but I can expect 100 to 200 visits to my blog if I post about it through my email list, which is a relatively low response. But, I mean, I have a handful of opt-outs over several months. I don't send that often, so I'm very, very polite with that list. But that active outreach is much more efficient. And if you're talking about where you've got to get in the interview list in 2 or 3 days, you really want to get in people's inbox.
And I think one thing we have to remember is we are freelancers. We live in a very high-tech city. Most of our professional contacts are pretty tech-savvy. But the average corporate slave in Decatur works on their email all day. Many companies don't even allow you to get on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that during your work day. And if they worked long hours and are tired when they went home or going to the kids' soccer game, they're not looking. They're not getting on the computer at home. And I think that's something that we do need to remember, is often those people that are placed in these corporations that we need to make the contact with are email hounds. That's what they're doing all day, every day.
Well, understanding that you're contacting people who are close to them, you're not actually, it's not that rare to have somebody who's the hiring manager in your network. Much more rare, though, than finding somebody close to them. And also, there is no better research tool than LinkedIn. If you first thing you do is go to LinkedIn, type in the company name, narrow it down to the title, however you want to sort it, and call those or email those people first, or connect with them, whatever you need to do. Do that first, because that's the quick way. But if you need one or two or three, you can use the broader approach through email, and you're going to find things that just LinkedIn's never going to have.
Well, and the thing with LinkedIn is you have to know the person to be able to connect with them. Like, you have to already know them. You have to have their email, number one, and if you don't have their email, you can't connect with them.
Yeah. The introductions can take a while. But quite honestly, if you find somebody there at the company that has the same title, you know, they probably know the hiring manager, you're going to pick up the phone and probably call them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that. Now, they may not appreciate that, but it's a little more aggressive. You're going to have to find your level of aggression in there.
Can we kind of think through some scenarios? I think a lot of us are freelancers.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be some scenarios where a freelancer might use the magic email? So we've kind of talked about you're interested in a particular opportunity or company. Are there other situations where that
So there's another thing with the Reed's Law Network that you need to do. Since we're not selling, since as a job seeker we're not sending a resume, as a freelancer we're not sending a brochure, probably not sending our portfolio, because people have this much time. I know someone there, I don't know someone there, right? Or, sure, contact so-and-so. They get energized by, you know, oh, I get the prize because I know somebody there. You need to train your network. So sending, as a freelancer, sending regularly, just finished a job with the Statesman. Here's my blog post on the three techniques I use to make sure it's a good article, or three interviewing techniques, or whatever was important in that. They start to see, oh, she's writing. She's writing for things like the State. Oh, she's writing for Health Magazine. Oh, she's writing for this, she's writing. They start to understand what you do based on the information you're sending them.
Okay.
So what I do, one of my favorite strategies, is the blog to newsletter strategy. And so what I do is I say, I keep a blog, I post once a week, I send an email every time I get two posts. Would you mind getting an email, see if it's something that is interesting to you? And so as I'm blogging, I just set up, there's two services. FeedBurner is free. It's a Google company. And FeedBlitz gives you a little more control over the design. And it's $3 a month, I think I pay. And it also has a little bit more liberal importing of contacts. You can't import contacts into FeedBlitz, so you can't take your Gmail contact and send them all an invitation. But you blog twice, it zips it up into a newsletter and sends it to that list. It manages all your opt-outs for you. It allows you to put a form on your blog or a link to the form in your email so that you can invite other people to join, and it takes them through the double opt-in. So they fill out their stuff. They have to confirm by email. So it's the most polite marketing out there. And if you're blogging of interesting stuff around your practice, what better way to train your network on what you do? The people that don't want to get it anymore, they click on subscribe, it takes them off the list, you won't accidentally send them anything. I like it. I like that strategy.
So by newsletter, you're saying that you blog and then you have it hooked up with some kind of a content pusher that pushes it into email?
Yes, yes. So if you're running a blog, first of all, have FeedBurner, because you want to know how many people are subscribing to your blog, and it gives you those stats. Then it has a feature that will just, it's monitoring your feeds. So it's like, all right, two new posts. It's time to send an email to everybody that's on her list. And it just zips it up and sends it. And it's very simple layout. With FeedBlitz, you can add a little promotion on there if you've got some content or a white paper or something that furthers your practice or your thought leadership. You can put that into those on the sidebar, but it's really the content that they're interested in. And other than that, you can just on a monthly basis. If you're in a job search and you find, in a job search, it's those hot opportunities. It's like, this is perfect for me. I really want this, that you want to send out to that network. You don't want to send everything. It's like, oh, maybe they'll make me an offer. You're going to wear out your list, and you will be you will have high opt-outs from that. Those important ones, which are really important and you know you're well qualified, is really what you want to spend your network on.
So to take it the next step and kind of go back to your question, for a freelancer, instead of a job seeker that's looking for a specific position, you could send out to the list and say, I really want to write for Texas Monthly. Anybody know anybody?
Absolutely.
Who could connect me with them?
Absolutely.
And this is my background in writing and how I think it would fit
right
in with that.
Yeah, so, your champions are going to not comprehend that. But if they can get an idea of what you do and what magazine you're looking for, and maybe you want to reference, I just finished an article for a competitor or similar magazine, great.
These kinds of articles are the kinds that I write, and Texas Public does these kind of articles, and so I think it'd be a good fit.
Right, right.
So you kind of asked this big network for permission to keep them up to date on what you're doing, and then that slowly kind of educates them on, oh, she said she was a writer, but this is what she really does.
Right, right. So size is important, and these reads networks can grow on their own. Understand that 50% of the emails that get sent might get shunted off to a filter and never read. Readability is an issue. Another bunch will never be written, and another bunch of people just filter you out or mark you as a block sender. But you end up with a growing core of folks that have an idea of what you do and are able to help you find those champions and get more projects. So being polite, being respectful, you're not a spammer. And there's a lot of freelancers that are overlooking it. How are we doing on time? Are we? Okay. Another question?
Quick question. I have a company called Carmadillo, and by the way, I'm looking for freelancers. So if you're a great technical writer, please see me after the meeting. But I just wanted to ask, you mentioned don't send the portfolio. Does that also mean don't send your website, don't send a link to your website and these emails when you say don't send a portfolio? What do you mean by don't send a portfolio?
Don't send a resume. You can send a link to a portfolio maybe in your signature.
Link to your LinkedIn.
My signature has LinkedIn and Twitter, and so all that stuff's in the signature. But read my resume or come check out my portfolio and let me know if you know anybody. That's what we want to avoid.
Right. I'm talking about I'm building a practice in XYZ business, right? Yada yada. I was trying to figure out what your guidance on what you should or should not include when it comes to studies,
in the magic stuff. Email, the first permission email, you want to keep it brief. Don't try to sell them. Don't try to educate them on what you're going to do. That's more timely over time. If you're in retail, you can put a coupon at the bottom or something like that, but I wouldn't make that a part of that's not what the email's about. It's really permission.
Right.
You want to be really clear about what they can expect to get in their email box
right.
If they don't unsubscribe. That's the most important thing. Real quick, my contact information on Twitter, I'm at B Massey, no dots, at B Massey. The Market For Me book.com is my blog. You can get a free copy of the book there. So go and visit that. Cardboard Resume is sponsoring that. Cardboardresume.com has a great application for anybody who's in the job search and wants to manage this. What sounds like an unwieldy network, and I'm sure it can be. Thank you very much. Oh, conversionscientist.com is my professional blog. All one word, Conversion Scientist.
Just finished school, I never met his type before. You're very kind, I said, and yes, you're right, I'm very poor. But I don't see how your scheme could help me, and so I wonder if you might not tell me more. Why should I get a real job or real? Why should I get a real job? Why should I get a real job or real job or real? Why should I get a real job? Well, did you want to be like the people on TV? So bored and jaded and doing something that you've always hated.